Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, hour number two, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7. At rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Talking about the format that looks like it's going to be approved tomorrow by the Board of Governors, and Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams, both of them have been all over this. You're going to have 22 teams. You'll have one extra team invited in the Eastern Conference. That is going to be the Wizards. And then out in the Western Conference, you will have the Trailblazers, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs, and the Suns. Five extra teams invited to this 22-team return to play situation. There will be eight regular season games. Then from there, there will be a play-in game to get to that eighth playoff spot with the eighth and ninth team. The only way that will happen is if the ninth team is within four games of the eighth seed. That's the only way that it happens. So you got to be four games or fewer within that eighth seed. That's how you get in or get into that playoff game. If you're the eighth seed, all you got to do is win one time. If you're the ninth seed, you got to win both games. You got to win both games. So it doesn't make sense to me. And I said this in the last segment, but it doesn't make sense to me why you need to have the regular season and then that play-in game. And then if you're, what, three or four games out and you're the ninth seed, let's say you're Portland or you're the Pelicans and you're that ninth seed, if the Grizzlies lose twice and they're out, that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't whatsoever. So it's really, you look at it, it's not a best of three. I think I said in the last hour, because all the Grizzlies have to do is win one game. And, you know, maybe you could then raise the point, just playing devil's advocate, that if you can't beat that team at least one time, then you don't deserve to get in. But then yet again, you could still make the, you could still miss the playoffs, and the difference in the total games, you could still be better than the team that gets in. Let's not be naive here. Well, let's not be naive. The NBA is doing this. They don't give a rat's ass about the Eastern Conference eighth seed. They don't care. You could flip a coin for all the NBA cares when it comes to Orlando and the Wizards. They don't want Memphis in. They do not want Memphis in the playoffs. They'd rather have the Pelicans because of Zion Williamson, or the Trailblazers with what they have done in recent years. Team went to the Western Conference Finals a year ago. They were up like 20 points in every game and couldn't win a game against the Warriors. But they'd rather have Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and the Trailblazers in than the Grizzlies. And they'd rather have the Pelicans mainly in over them both, probably the Trailblazers and definitely the Grizzlies. So you could try to sell this and feed it to me all you want. It's eight regular season games, and then just for insurance, if we could do everything in our power to try to squeeze the Grizzlies out, even after those eight games, even if they are the better team than whoever is in that ninth spot, as long as it's within four games, Memphis got to go out and win another game. I don't get that. I don't get it whatsoever. If you want to tell me you want to play the eight regular season games, I'm fine. Go to the playoffs from there. Don't tell me it's eight regular season games, then the potential play-in game, and then we start the postseason. Doesn't make sense to me. Maybe I'm lost on this one, because for weeks and weeks and weeks, I've been advocating to have it just be your 1-8 in the East currently and your 1-8 in the West currently. They clearly, though, that Lakers game, that Lakers series, they want it better than Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis going up against Ja Morant. They want it to be the Lakers up against the Trailblazers or the Lakers up against the Pelicans. That's what the NBA wants. They want one of those matchups in the first round. Where if you look at the matchups right now, if we're doing it for just that one matchup, it's not worth the fuss. It's not worth it to put more teams in Orlando. Because once again, no one cares if it's Bucks or Magic or Bucks or Wizards. So that doesn't change much. Maybe you could have the seeding move around, but if you go with what the playoffs are right now, it'd be Toronto and the Nets, Celtics and the Sixers, Heat and the Pacers. Fine. In the West, if it stays put, which it may not, it probably won't be because of the 8 regular season games, you have the Thunder and the Rockets with the same record. You have the Mavericks as a 7th, not that far behind the 4, 5, and 6 seeds. If you look at the West right now, it's the Lakers and Memphis, Clippers and Mavericks, Nuggets and Houston, Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So basically what they're doing is they just want to enhance the first round matchup in their mind and do everything in their power to get Lakers Pelicans or Lakers Trailblazers. That's what they're trying to do. So here's what I hope that happens. And yes, as an NBA fan, you'd probably rather see Zion and LeBron or the Trailblazers and LeBron, you know, and have that matchup. Yeah, you'd probably rather see it. I get why they're doing it. With that being said, though, I will root for the Memphis Grizzlies because the NBA is doing everything in their power to screw the Memphis Grizzlies. So I will now root for the Memphis Grizzlies to get that 8th seed and then probably get smacked in 4 games by the Lakers. Maybe it will be a gentleman's sweep and the Grizzlies will get 1 game. Here's something else that I read today, though. And we know that format's going to happen. This is not going to happen. But this was published today by Dave McMenamin of ESPN. He talked about how the top teams with no home court advantage because you're playing a neutral site have been lobbying the league for some advantages. The higher seeded teams in the playoffs should be allowed. This is what people lobbying for. To designate one player to be able to be whistled for 7 fouls instead of 6 before fouling out. Stupid. Now we're going to give an advantage because you're the 1 seed going up against the 8 seed or the 2 and the 7. We're going to give you an advantage because we don't have fans in the stands. By one player, so let's say, you know, LeBron, you could have 7 fouls while everyone else has, 6 fouls and you're out of the game. Come on. That's nonsense. Stupid. Hey, here's some more on this. I'll read you 2 more. The higher seeded team receiving an extra coach's challenge. Yeah, because we need another review in a postseason game in an NBA game. We need another stoppage. So let's give that team an extra coach's challenge. And then here's the other one. The higher seeded team being able to transport their actual hardwood home court for their home arenas to Orlando to try to preserve the feel of their home playing experience. Mikey B sent that one to me earlier today. My first response, I said, like, okay, all right, yeah, cool, all right, that's fine. Is a player going to feel more of the home court advantage? And is a fan that's sitting on their couch that's not allowed in the arena, are they going to feel more of a home court advantage because you have the Bucks logo or you have the Trailblazers logo or the Lakers logo, like whoever it is on a home court? Yeah, the Raptors are going to play better because they have the Raptors logo on the court. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the reason he's getting to the finals this year is because they're going to have the Fear the Deer Bucks logo on the court. Oh, come on. We think way too much sometimes. We think way too much. Here's what I'm curious, though. When you look at the home and road splits, what team that has a very good home record and not a away record that's close or is on par with it, matches it with the home record, what team does that affect the most? You know, what team thrives off their home fans the most? Because you look at the Bucks, for example, at Fiserv Forum, they're 28-3. On the road, they're 25-9. That's not a big difference. You see Toronto, great home court advantage. They're 23-9. On the road, they're also 23-9. TD Garden. I've been there for playoff games. I went to a Celtics and Sixers playoff game not that long ago. TD Garden, one of the loudest buildings I've ever been in. Celtics 23-9 at home, 20-12 on the road. All right, how about Miami? How does Miami work without their home fans? 27-5 at home, 14-19 on the road. That's a team to watch. Pacers 21-11, 18-5, not that big of a difference. Here's a huge difference. Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Center, they're 29-2. On the road, 10-24. So, you know, if those, whatever those matchups are with the Heat and the Sixers in the first round, I'll be curious to see how both those teams play without their home crowd. The Nets, 18-14 at home, 12-20 on the road. Magic, 16-15 at home, 14-20 on the road. The Wizards, who are going to now be allowed in the bubble, 16-16 at home, 8-24 on the road. We get to the West, Lakers 23-8 at home, 26-6 on the road, not that big of a difference. Clippers 25-7 at home, 19-13 on the road, not that big of a difference. Nuggets 25-8 at home, 18-14 on the road. Jazz 21-10, 20-13 on the road. Thunder 20-13 at home, 20-11 on the road. Rockets 22-10 at home, 18-14 on the road. Maybe James Harden losing 20 pounds will get them to play a little bit better until he shows up, though, in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. I can't believe in Houston. How about this? Mavericks are 19-15 at home, 21-12 on the road. Memphis 18-15 at home, on the road 14-18. Trailblazers 18-14 at home, 11-23 on the road. Pelicans 13-19 at home, 15-7 on the road. And the Kings, Spurs, and Suns at home, 14-7, 16-14, 13-22. On the road, 14-9, 11-22, and 13-7. So really not that big of a difference in the Western Conference, the home and the road splits. In the East, though, the two teams to watch. Miami, 27-5 at the home, won't have a home court advantage because you don't have any home games. It's all neutral site, 14-19 on the road. But the Sixers, 29-2 and 10-24. So whatever the Sixers do at the Wells Fargo Center, where they actually they do a great promotion for a Frosty. This is one of the all-time great promotions. They have those thunder sticks, and when an opponent gets to the free throw line, you smash the thunder sticks together, and if the player misses two free throws, you get a free. I think it's either a Slurpee or a soft, something like that. You get, or a slushy, something like that. You get a, or a Frosty. I think it's Wendy's. Yeah, so it's a Frosty. I'm a food connoisseur, but I'm not a fast food connoisseur. But I do think it is Wendy's. So those two teams, Heat and Sixers, I think that's the biggest difference when you do look into what team may miss their home crowd the most. But these games, whenever they do come back, and it looks like it's going to be July 31st, and the regular season, all right, it's a tune-up. Even that playing game, I don't think there's going to be a lot of energy unless if you get Zion in the playing game or without outspoken Damian Lillard. I think Damian Lillard's right. If there's not an incentive for him to play in the playoffs, then why should he play? Now he's getting that incentive. But really, we won't see what the games are really going to look like and how much you're going to miss the fans. Probably not even in the first round. Or maybe you do get in the first round. Now, the first time, if you get a game 7 in the first round, you're going to be sitting on your couch saying, yeah, this is a little bit odd. Because you don't got fans in the stands. Now, will they pump in some crowd? Will they let you hear the natural sounds? That's another topic of conversation. But when you really get into that second round of the postseason and you don't have any fans, it's going to be weird. And that's going to be an adjustment for us all and how teams are going to try to make the viewing experience better for the audience. You got to mic players up. Now, even though it's the playoffs, mic them up. Let's hear more interviews. Let's hear more personal interactions. Try to make it feel like a personal interaction with fans as well. We got to hear that stuff because you don't have the fans in the stands. You don't have the noise and the energy and the buzz and the exuberance. You don't have that. And when a team wins a championship, too, I think about that. I think it's October 12th could be Game 7 of the NBA Finals, which would be on Monday Night Football as well. You imagine you get Lakers and Bucks or Clippers and Bucks, whatever it is, and you got a Game 7. Well, let's just go with the Lakers. You got LeBron and Giannis. You got Anthony Davis in the fold as well. No fans. Team wins a championship. Run around the court celebrating. And no fans. That's going to be one odd sight. Really is going to be an odd sight. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we'll introduce the poll question today. And you can jump on in as on that on at Zach Gelb on Twitter. You know what? Let's introduce the poll question now. And if you want to jump on in, we'll open up the phone lines 855-212-4CBS. Who wins the 2020 NBA Finals? Here are your options. Lakers, Bucks, Clippers, or other. We'll give you the results when we come on back.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio.
Your interview with Coach was the best interview I've ever heard on sports radio. Coach Hunter, I'm talking about. If I had a son and I was trying to direct him as to where he may want to go, there's no doubt in my mind Tulane would be number one based on that interview.
Here's Zach Gelb.
Also, a lot of other reasons to send your kid to Tulane. Gumbo, po' boys, some beignets, get some good alcoholic drinks as well. A lot of reasons to go to Tulane. If Zach Gelb attended Tulane University, I would have failed out. I would have flunked out within a year. You know, actually, maybe I'd get through a year and then in the third semester of college, in that second year, first semester, that's what I would have flunked out. Too many distractions. Good weather, great food. And I guess if I was there for three semesters, you went through Mardi Gras once, if you're failing out of college, then you probably stick around and go to Mardi Gras which would be the fourth semester there as well. But my oh my. Yes, I would not do well at Tulane because I would not be able to study. I would not be able to focus. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line 855-212-4227 is sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Stu, I'm going to ask you to take your Los Angeles Lakers jersey and cap off here for a second. If you're looking at it objectively, you're not looking at it through the lens of a gold and purple freak, begging for LeBron to give you a title and begging for Anthony Davis to give you a title and see Frank Vogel become an NBA champion as a head coach. Who wins the 2020 NBA Finals? Lakers, Bucks, Clippers, others. How would you rank that? You know, take out other for a second. Just simply the Lakers, Bucks, and Clippers, how would you rank them 1, 2, 3 in who you think will win the finals?
If I'm being 100% objective, I would say Bucks 1, Lakers 2, Clippers 3.
And I would imagine the Bucks being number 1 would because you look at the Eastern Conference, you probably don't think there's a legit challenger that's going to take them down 4 times in a 7-game series.
That, and I just think they're younger. I just feel like the layoff is something that could maybe hurt the Lakers or Clippers down the road. But I think the Bucks might come out of this. Again, it's so close between those three, but I think I would probably give the edge to the Bucks if I had to put money on it.
I would actually go Lakers 1, Bucks 2, and then the Clippers 3. And going into the year, I thought we would see a Bucks and Clippers finals. And who knows what matters at the end, I guess, of part one of the season with what has happened in the 3 months since then. Right, though, at the end of, right before the pause, And I know the Lakers lost to the Nets in that crazy game, but before that, the Lakers were red hot, where they won four in a row, and they had those two games where they, on a Friday night, defeated Milwaukee, where Giannis got hurt, and then on that Sunday, they defeated the Clippers. You know, in that stretch, that's when I really started to say to myself, the Lakers are going to be the NBA champions this year. And since February 8th, from February 8th to March 10th, the Lakers had two losses. Now, that doesn't mean that the Bucks weren't playing great and the Clippers weren't playing great as well. And you look at the Clippers, what stands out to you is their depth. What stands out to you is their defense. When you have Patrick Beverley and Paul George, and obviously Kawhi Leonard as well. The Bucks, they have what is the MVP of the league in Giannis Antetokounmpo. And you look at that road, I don't really look at it at a challenger in the East. You know, I'm not afraid of the Raptors if I'm a Bucks fan. I think Boston would have the best chance, but I'm not afraid of Boston. I'm not afraid of Philadelphia. I'm not afraid of Miami. I just look at those three teams in particular. Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks. And I guess now with we fast forward and it's going to be, what, 4 months and you know, since they played a game, right? Because it'd be 4 months because March 11th was when they paused. You got March, April, May, June, and then you're not going to get going until July 31st. So you're looking at a significant time off. And with all the time off, I will say that I really do think you go with the best player on the planet. And I know last year when Kawhi Leonard hoisted that Larry O'Brien trophy and did what he did with the Raptors roster, where we look differently at the Raptors roster, but you really only had one true great player in the game at the time. I know the narrative started to change where Kawhi's the best player in the league. But when you sit back and you see what LeBron is doing this year, and you know what LeBron is capable of in his career, being a top five player of all time, top three player, maybe even, you know, probably even a top two player of all time, and you sit back and you digest it, for me, it's tough for me to bet against LeBron James with all this time off and so many uncertainties. I'm not saying that does not mean Giannis Antetokounmpo is not going to be ready to go. I'm not saying that doesn't mean Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are going to be ready to go. But if I'm asking you, who do I trust to win the title the most? Who do I believe is going to win the title? And if I have to pick between those three teams, for me, yeah, I go with the Lakers because of the power of LeBron James. Like, even though you said, Stu, that you had the Bucks 1, Lakers 2, Clippers 3, you got to feel pretty damn confident if you're a Lakers fan, right?
Oh, very. Yes, I think they, you know, I think they are one of the teams to beat. It's just a matter of if they, you know, win that seventh game. I think that's what it comes down to.
And now if I look at it, and we asked this question yesterday in the Eastern Conference, who could give the Bucks their best run for their money? And I said it was the Celtics. If I look at the Western Conference, like, is there a team that you sit back and you go, yeah, that's the third team in the West? Like, I look at Denver. You know, Malone's done a good job coaching that team. You got Jokic, you got Murray. Like, you got a good team. You're 43-22 for a reason. I don't see how they win three series and get to the NBA Finals. Utah, you got Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, Quinn Snyder coach. I don't see how, even though they're 41-23 this year, I don't see how they get to the Finals. OKC this year, better than what anyone thought. CP3 has done an admirable job this year. I don't see how they get to the Finals. Like, you look at the Rockets, am I going to get hyped up about James Harden, who is a great regular season player, but in the postseason, he's missing something. He's missing something in the fourth quarter. Now, with Russell Westbrook there, and we have not seen them in the postseason before with Russ and Harden with the Rockets. So, you know, there's a little intrigue there. And I guess if you're making me pick that next best team, I guess you put the Rockets if the Lakers and Clippers aren't going to the finals, I guess it is the Rockets. But once again, why am I supposed to trust that James Harden, with what we have seen over the years, and I know the Rockets fans going to tell me, oh, CP3 was hurt for 6 and 7 when they couldn't get the job done. And I know last year, you know, there's no excuses for last year. But last year was pathetic. And in the game where Durant gets hurt, you can't close the door. And that series was over there. The fat lady was singing right when you didn't win that game. And then after that, you see James Harden play. And like in one of those games, what was it? He had 5 points in the fourth quarter. In the postseason, in the fourth quarter, James Harden, you basically put his face on a milk carton and he goes missing. Now, that's what you do. So I see the Rockets. Yeah, I guess they're the next best team in the Western Conference after the Lakers and the Clippers, if I had to put some coin on it. But for me to put serious coin on it, I can't trust James Harden until he does it. Dallas, you got Luka and KP. Good team. And whoever gets that A spot in the West, whether it's Memphis, Portland, the Pelicans, Kings, Spurs, Phoenix, you know, it'll be a better series if you have Portland and the Pelicans. Maybe they get a game. Maybe if you're Portland, you get 2 games off the Lakers potentially. But I don't see it being. I would imagine Lakers win that first round series, regardless of the opponent, in 4 or 5 games. I'm surprised though with the results, and I'll give you the results right now. I'm just surprised how large it is in the other category. 43.2%. Say Lakers on who wins the 2020 NBA Finals. That's my vote. Then in second place, it's other at 30.7%. Bucks in third at 17%. And then the Clippers at 9.1%. Who's that other team? There's no way you could tell me the Raptors, the Celtics, the Heat, the Pacers, the Sixers, the Nets, the Magic, the Wizards. One of those teams you have winning the NBA Finals over the Lakers, the Clippers, or the Bucks. And then in the West, to have that be the second place vote, you tell me you have confidence in like the Nuggets, the Jazz, the Thunder, the Rockets, the Mavericks, the Grizzlies? Come on. I would imagine if you're picking teams in that other category, it's Houston. Maybe the Raptors, maybe the Celtics. But really, this is a three-team race. Yeah, you have 22 teams that are going to return. But in actuality, to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy, it's a three-team race. If you have a team that wins the NBA Finals other than the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Clippers, I'd be stunned. I'd be absolutely stunned. Now, maybe you have the Bucks. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe you have the Bucks get upset in the East. Whoever comes out of the East, am I going to... You know, even though that'd be an impressive accomplishment and feat, but am I going to expect them to defeat the Lakers or the Clippers? No, they wouldn't be the favorite in that series. If you give me the Celtics or the Raptors in the NBA Finals, you know, one of those two teams representing the East, they wouldn't be the favorites over the Lakers and the Clippers. They wouldn't. So the way I would go, Lakers 1, Bucks 2, Clippers 3. How about you? Tell me who you think is going to win the NBA Finals this year. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's time to get to our Week 16 2020 NFL simulation. Let me give you an update on the standings through 15 weeks. And if you're new to the show, welcome. If you're old, we thank you for coming back as well, if you're a returning listener. Basically, each day I've been giving you a week of the NFL season. I give you my predictions, and we like to see where we're going to be at the end of Week 17. Then we'll have some fun with the playoff picture and make it a little interactive as well. Have some fans vote, maybe bring on a guest picker like we did with the Zach Gelb Show Food Bracket Extravaganza. We'll have some fun. But we're at Week 16, but through 15 weeks, here are the standings. As I have to adjust my glasses here for a second. I did a very old man move right there. I put my glasses on top of my headphones. I can wear my glasses. I can't see. there on top of my head. That's a problem. All right, here we go. NFC East. I have the Cowboys at 9-5, the Eagles at 8-6, Giants at 6-8, Redskins at 2-12. NFC North, Packers 10-4, Vikings 9-5, the Bears 4-10, Lions, sorry Detroit, 2-12. Saints 11-3, Buccaneers 10-4, Falcons 7-7, Panthers 4-10. NFC West, best division in football. 11-3, 49ers and Seahawks. Cardinals 8-6, Rams 7-7. Imagine the worst team in that division, 7-7. Wow. AFC East, Bills 8-6, my New England Patriots 6-8, Dolphins 5-9, the JTS Jets 4-10. AFC North, Ravens 10-4, Steelers 9-5, Browns 8-6, the Bengals 3-11. AFC South, Texans 8-6, Tennessee 7-7, the Colts 6-8, Jaguars 1-13. PU. AFC West, Chiefs 11-3, Broncos 7-7, Chargers 7-7, and the Las Vegas Raiders 5-9. So we start things off in week 16, and you actually have an interesting schedule here, as on Christmas Day, you will have a night game, or afternoon game, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. You will get the Vikings at the Saints. Stu, as a sports fan, we all know Christmas Day is always centered around the NBA, NBA, NBA. The NFL to give you a Christmas Day game, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, you like it?
As long as it's not going up against the Lakers, yes, I like it a lot.
That's a good point. Well, actually, that could be the start of the 2020 season.
That's right. That's
in
good
the
point.
NBA, the 2020-2021 season. Could be the start. So that game is actually a very good game. It's Vikings at the Saints. We all know the history with the Minneapolis Miracle, where depending on who you ask, most people will tell you the Vikings did benefit from it. Some, though, may say it was the heartbreak for the Minnesota Vikings, like that one time Booger McFarland did that on Monday Night Football. But, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes people misspeak. I do it all the time. But that game, you got the Vikings and the Saints, and it's not only the Minneapolis Miracle. You do have the playoff game from a year ago where Kirk Cousins walked into the locker room after the game and told his team, "You like that? You like that? You like that?" So this time around, in what will be Drew Brees' final season, in my opinion, and Drew Brees has some bigger problems to deal with today, you get Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins. You get Dalvin Cook and Alex Mattison with Alvin going up against Alvin Kamara. And from a receiving standpoint, you got Jefferson, the rookie. You got Adam Thielen, and you got Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. I look at this game. It's weird. It's tough to trust Kirk Cousins in a big game. But then the Saints, it's tough to trust them in a big game as well. Because we see recent history, Minneapolis Miracle. I know they got screwed with the no pass interference, but Brees did throw a pick in overtime to give Goff the ball back, and then they had that field goal. And then you also look at last year, everyone was picking the Saints, and the Vikings got a victory. And this is a pretty big game. Saints going up against the Bucs in their division. Vikings trying to keep pace with the Packers. I'm going to go with the team that won this game in the postseason a year ago. Give me Minnesota for a sweet Christmas Day victory up against the New Orleans Saints. And a lot of kids will be yelling at their parents when their presents get opened up underneath the tree. "Yeah, I like that. I like that." Kirk Cousins will walk in week 16 and tell his teammates, "You like that? You like that?" And if there's fans allowed in the stands, those New Orleans Saints fans will be in a somber mood on Christmas Day. That's a miserable, you know, Christmas Day. You get the presents in the morning. It could end very poorly, though, if your football team doesn't win. We then go to Sunday, December 27th. You get the Panthers at the Redskins. I'm going to go with the Panthers in this one. Now, both these teams aren't going to be that good. Panthers have the better offense, though. You look at that Redskins defense front seven, it's good. But you get Ron Rivera in his new home and Matt Rhule coming into Ron Rivera's new home. I'm going to take the new direction of the Panthers over the Redskins to kick off that Sunday in Week 16. Colts at the Steelers. Colts probably have a better roster than what their record is reflecting. And maybe they have a bounce back year, but I'm going to take the Steelers in this one. I think the Steelers are going back to the playoffs. I have not been that optimistic this offseason about Big Ben when he's looking like Tom Hanks from Castaway. But you look at seven teams now getting into the playoffs in the AFC. Steelers got to be one of them in a weak AFC with only two great teams in Baltimore and the Kansas City Chiefs. So give me the Steelers over the Colts. Falcons at the Chiefs. Chiefs, a lot of points in this game. Chiefs, though, are going to prevail. Defense makes a difference. And you take a look at Kansas City. It's just one of those games where even if you maybe feel like, okay, the Falcons can win, even the Falcons get a 10-point lead, I can never count out Patrick Mahomes. Give me the Chiefs to get that victory. Bears at the Jaguars. Sorry, Chicago. We're giving Jacksonville win number two on the season in a game that will mean nothing. But this actually could be a game. We talk about Rivera and Rhule. You get the 1 year of Nick Foles in Jacksonville. If the Bears are going to be this bad, he'll be on the field then. You get Nick Foles making that triumphant return to Jacksonville. Give me the Jags, though, to get the dub. Minshew Mania for the second win of the season. Bengals at the Texans. Give me the Texans. Giants at the Ravens. I take the Ravens. Rams at the Seahawks. I split here in the season series. I gave the Rams a victory the first time. Seahawks get the victory in game number two. And then how about this one? Last year, Eagles and Cowboys. Division on the line. Eagles walked out with the W at Lincoln Financial Field. This time, it's in Jerry's world. Last year, the first matchup, the Cowboys single-handedly walked away with the victory. And it wasn't that close. Then in the second time around, Cowboys with a healthier team, Carson Wentz wilt his team to victory in Philadelphia. This time around, matchup number one was in Philly. I gave the victory to the Eagles. This is a big statement game for Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy. I think they answer the call here. Cowboys split the season series with the Eagles 1-1. Cowboys, though, get a huge late Week 16 victory and shows you how much a difference a year does make. Give me the Cowboys. Tennessee at the Packers. This could sneakily be a good game in Week 16. With what the Titans are fighting for, Packers fighting for in the division, we know Tennessee can run right through that Packers defense. My first gut actually told me the Packers. I'm actually going to change it up here. I'm going to go with Tennessee, and it's going to be because of the run game of Derrick Henry. And even though I put the Packers in a great spot this year and haven't won a lot of games right now, it's going to be one of those moments where you look back and say, we could have done a little bit more to address that team in this offseason. Give me the Titans over the Packers in Lambeau, too. Bills at the Pats. I'll split the season series. Bills going to win this division, but the Patriots get a Week 16 victory. Browns at the JTS Jets. This was the game where Baker Mayfield made his NFL debut. Remember, Tyrod Taylor got hurt. I think it was a concussion. Mayfield comes in. They ran a Philly special. They win the game. They break the losing streak. Now, Baker Mayfield going to MetLife Stadium to play Sam Darnold. Brownies. Better team, give me the Browns. Dolphins at the Las Vegas Raiders. Whew. I miss vacations. Two great vacation spots. Miami and Las Vegas. A lot of partying, a lot of fun. Stu, do I want to break your heart here again, or do I go with the Raiders?
Please don't break my heart here.
Really? You'd be that upset with me if I go with the Dolphins?
No, not really.
You know what? Flip a coin here. I'll go with the Raiders in this one. I've been tough on them. Broncos at the Chargers. I gave the Broncos the victory in game number one. You could say, Zach, will you split here? I'm not going to split here. As much as I like Anthony Lynn, I just look at that Broncos team. There's a lot of boomer bust potential. Those two teams, the Broncos and the Chargers, may be fighting out for the seventh spot in the AFC playoffs. Because if I think about it, you got your four division winners. If I have Baltimore winning division, I like Pittsburgh. I like the Browns to get to the playoffs. So you got one spot left. I think it's probably going to come down to the Chargers and the Broncos. I don't know what Drew Lock will be, but there's a lot around him. I'm going with the Broncos in this one. Bucks at the Lions. TB12. Tampa Bay. Yeah. If Matt Patricia's still on the sideline in Detroit, Tom Brady's going to light him up. Bucks win. And then finally, 49ers at the Cardinals. It's a good late-season test for Kyler Murray. That 49ers defense is too strong. I think that's the difference in this game, and Jimmy G just does enough to get the victory. Last year when these two teams played, Jimmy G had a big 3rd-and-11 throw up against, for a first down, if memory serves me right. Maybe against the Rams. But I think he made a big play against the Cardinals and then also the Rams too, but I'm going with the 49ers in this one. So here are my winners. Vikings, Panthers, Steelers, Chiefs, Jaguars, Texans, Ravens, Seahawks, Cowboys, Titans, Pats, Browns, Raiders, Broncos, Bucks, and 49ers. And I may be having some chaos here for Mikey B. He's going to have to figure out some of these tiebreakers as well. Have fun with that one. Those are the picks. Week 16 in the National Football League. We'll wrap it up tomorrow with Week 17. When we come on back, the commissioner of the Pac-12, Larry Scott, is going to join us. We'll get his reaction on what has happened in our country in the last week and a half. We will also get his reaction on what the college football season may look like in the fall with all that's currently going on with the coronavirus pandemic as well. Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, coming up in 5 minutes right here on the Zach Gelb Show on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM 206, or the radio.com application.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.